Hey, Quang here. I hope you're enjoying the XP Share podcast. If you agree with my takes, you should tell everyone in the Cracked Media Discord. If you disagree, you should go to the Cracked Media Discord and find CJ_Zephyr. And only tell him. Privately. Thank you.
This boy might have the best meat in the game.
You can't say that in Pride Month, bro!
We know what he did.
We all know what he did. And so I'm just saying
that I have all right. choked on said meat.
I'm just saying, when the podcast goes live, we never talk him about him again because I don't want to get taken off of YouTube.
That boy makes good meat. Say that again. Bring that back.
I'm just saying it's barbecue season, and that meat was so good that when I choked on it, I was happy every second entering.
We were all there in 2018. We know why he got cancelled. That's all I'm saying. All right. Well, welcome to the XP Share podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Woo!
Oh my God.
It's been a minute.
Look, Quang knows if he gives me an improv bit, I'll go with the bit. Do I know where it's going? No, but the car is moving.
I was honestly hoping that I was going to go farther.
The issue was I couldn't think of something the person in question would be cancelled for that also we can't talk about, otherwise we'd get cancelled.
You mean the old lady that you ran over with your wheelchair?
That was an allegation!
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I'm not allowed to talk about it until the court date.
Was it? Hold on.
God damn those photos.
I'm actually trying to figure this out right now. Hold on.
Trying to figure out what we have leaked and what has not been leaked.
I'm having my lawyers draft papers right now, guys.
Part of me wanted to link it to the horse meat scandal we had in the UK, but I wasn't sure the rest of you guys would get that
reference.
I know about the horse meat scandal.
Wait. I was about to start, but I need to... What?
So there was a scandal in the UK. I think it was specifically Tesco, but it could have been other stores as well, where the beef mince and the beef product, 90% of it was actually horse meat.
Taco Bell.
We're talking like 2014.
It happened again. Okay, yeah. To be fair, the Taco Bell thing and the Subway thing both were unfounded allegations. To be very clear, they were very nitpicky. They're like, we found a cell that is not typical in meat, but everyone who knows about anything about food culture was like, no, that's a thing that's in like meat filler for like. To make it cheap.
You're eating fast food.
No one
you're
cares.
Not making this sound any better.
There was a Wikipedia article on the 2013 horse meat scandal.
It's way different than the whole like Subway meats made out of fucking yoga mats. The thing that literally it's one chemical that is also used to polymerize rubber that is used as a preservative for meats that is is widely used.
Yeah, no, this was a legitimate, like, a load of horse DNA was found in beef products that were tested, and it turns out that a load of the beef products in Europe were horse meat, and Tesco were, like, a big, Tesco, that they used a lot of their stuff. It's all good now. I don't want to...
Britaboo?
What is a Britaboo?
Who?
like a weeaboo, but for England.
That's not a thing, and I don't want it to be a thing. Topics. Then something. Jane, I'll talk about stuff.
We haven't even done our gainers.
If Taco Bell uses horse meat, then I guess I like horse
meat. we're gonna talk about the upcoming events.
All right. Let's get on track. Welcome, guys. XP Share episode 51. You guys probably didn't hear like the last 10% of that because I think my audio just fucked up again. But it's called
You're
Mint.
You're fucking kidding. God damn
it. I'm not even kidding. It's okay. It's okay. We're segueing anyways. But yeah, fucking episode 51. Holy shit. This is insane. I miss you guys. It's been a fucking
it's been like
month.
A month.
Yeah,
it's been a month.
Been a fucking month, dude.
We're getting close to summer now.
I will say two of us are injured. One of us is in love. The other one has been dealing with shit behind the scenes.
Which one? You'll never know.
Yeah.
Oh, that you know what? Put your guesses in the comments below.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that's a new segment right there. Good job, boys. Speaking of new segment, hey guys, guess about what happened to those bingo cards? Yeah, we didn't pass them out. Sorry.
No, but using
they're
the
all
chat
up in here.
All right,
pass them out. Digital.
Well, that's the thing. I gotta send everybody to the place so they can generate their own card. And I totally forgot to like do that. It's okay. XP Share Bingo coming at you soon. TM.
Soon, TM. if we never release it, they'll keep wanting it, right? That's what Silk Song did for like 20 years.
What are we, EA Sports?
Yeah.
Oh, man. For real, though, for those of you who don't know or think that you missed it, we unfortunately did not have our Rainbow Six tournament yesterday, which good, bad. I'm not going to go into too many details, but shit happened. Got pushed back to next Saturday, which is actually, if you're a fan of Quidditch, we will have our Founders Cup next Saturday as well. But before that, the main event, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, Tenacht Season 2, Rebirth Circuit, coming at you from Marvel Rivals.
Go. Ooh,
y'all ready for this, dude?
That's interesting.
Are we a legitimate group of gamer individuals? That's crazy.
That's crazy, dude. Imagine.
After that intro?
Wait, you mean we're supposed to be professionals here? Wait. Hold on. Somebody slow down. Yo, Lily, thanks for the likes on TikTok. Appreciate it.
I'm excited. I need to see if Rebirth needs me back on commentary, because that stuff.
But are you kidding me? You better be fucking coming back. What the fuck?
I'm there for it. 1,000% I'm there for it. But yeah, it's like, I don't know if they want me back.
The sponsor of the tournament doesn't want you back, dog. Time to move on. Sorry, CJ. That was a good run.
Man, God damn it, bro.
Well, I mean, if I should say, I listened to some of CJ's, commentating, and I enjoyed it. So you should, you will be back.
Bro, he's
you
so
will,
good.
You will be left.
CJ, I guess
CJ's like top 10.
I gotta keep my job.
CJ is a top 10 commentator in my heart, across all genres of video games. So.
Right, you know what? I'm going to do commentary on the Wii game of Hell's Kitchen. It's going to be great.
Yo, wait, is that actually a thing? Hold up.
Yeah, bro, it was a TV show from the mid-2000s. Of course I had a Wii game.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that is the most...
I'm about to pull up... Probably. I'm about to go to eBay right now.
They probably paid Nintendo to get a game made for them because of how well that fucking goddamn console sold.
See, I didn't get that one because I got the Deal or No Deal one with
Howie Mandel.
No, the British one with
different bald guy.
No, he wasn't bald. What was his fucking?
What's
name?
The point then? Like.
there we go. His name was Stephen Mullen.
Oh my god.
Tim Westwood.
Jesus Christ.
Tim fucking Westwood.
Anyway, it's almost like this is like XP Share, and we should talk about like gaming and crack meat or
something. Yeah, it's
almost not like horse meat.
It's almost a bunch of major gaming things about. Like, we just had the summer games fest as well. Like, I forgot to put that on here because I figured we could kind of slip it in with the Xbox showcase.
Yeah. Speaking of horse meat,
honestly, I only got through half of the Xbox showcase, and I was playing another game at the time, so I wasn't fully paying attention. Not gonna lie, but some of the things I did see, We knew a lot of stuff was coming. And it was like some of it surprising, some of it not.
The main thing that I found interesting about the showcase, and just honestly, a lot of the announcements has been kind of going on recently, is because it is how much of like a sibling type rivalry, Microsoft and Sony have against each other. They're like, oh, we're gonna release it on Steam but not on your platform. Like, because like when Marvel Tokon, the new Marvel fighting game released by Arxis, released, I was like, oh, is this a PlayStation exclusive? Because it's like funded by PlayStation, it's like by PlayStation Games, it's all this whole, they make a whole big deal about it. At the very end, they're like, on Steam and Epic Store and on the Play Store.
I don't know, man. It's like competition is healthy and all at the end of the day, but like, I don't know. I'm down for the fact that Microsoft is kind of like at least dabbling in the fact that, you know, they want to experiment with collaborating with PlayStation to an extent at this point.
Yeah. Interesting. Ultimately, unless consoles really get like super cheap, the inevitability will be that most gamers will play on PC. As like a, the
yo,
computer's just
Outcast. What's up?
The PC is just too much of a versatile tool, and the gap between console and PC gaming has closed so much that for the average user, it makes zero sense to game on both.
Well, me and Dogma kind of talked about this earlier today too, about the whole just a base of companies possibly raising fucking game prices, right? It's just like, at the end of the day, inflation happens, shit happens. Eventually, development is gonna actually get to that point where it is that expensive, but we're at this, and we've been in this period again. Said it multiple times on this podcast. We've been in this period for 10, 15 fucking years where it's like, they want to charge more, but we're getting shittier quality.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would give Sony money first before I throw money at a Switch too.
Yeah, I'm in the same place, right? Nintendo needs to be put in their place. That's
absolutely. I think also with like the quality issue is developers, for better or worse, have the safety net of you can patch your game post launch now. Obviously, I know I talk about it a lot, but 15, 20 years ago, you couldn't do that. If the game wasn't fixed and ready when it was when the disc was being sent out, sucks to suck. That's just how the game is now. Yeah.
I mean,
whereas now we're in the era of, you can have day one patches and you can have updates a month down the line. So as much as the game doesn't have to be finished. Look at Cyberpunk right now. Great game. No Man's Sky is another one. Now, brilliant fucking game. The only reason they've been able to survive the way they have is because they can get patches down the line.
Yeah. To be clear, I both agree and disagree with you. There's like this little thing that a lot of people don't think about. that back in the day, release games actually sucked ass, even on disc. right? That's why release versions of games are so much more expensive than the second release, third release, like third round, fourth round. It's because they were buggy as shit, and as somebody who speedruns a lot of games, man, do I love 1.0 cartridges.
That was actually the next thing on my mind is like what's gonna happen to the speedrun community in like 10 years when everybody's just like, yeah, okay, game Patch comes out shitty in fucking 1 week, and then hey, let's speedrun this game because it's fucking broken, and then they patch it 2 weeks later because 90% of the people complain.
Seems great about it, actually. The most games you can backwards patch.
Yeah,
true.
In Steam.
True.
So that tends to be the default for the speedrun community, is that they decide on a patch that they want to play on, where, you know, 50-50. Game's so broken that the casual player will accidentally break the game, should be patched and fixed and move on later.
Yeah.
But also, as a speedrunner, we decide, as speedrunners, as a community, we decide what we consider the standard patch for the game and then move on with our life. Unless you're playing Nintendo games. Nintendo games is whatever the fuck Nintendo decides that they want. And now it's the Switch 2, so I guess.
Yeah. What up, Jerry? What's good, baby?
It's an interesting one. It's really weird, and Nintendo really needs to catch up with the times. Again, I've been saying this for years, like even before I really like had a massive internet, when I had an internet presence, but Nintendo have always been behind on that, because they are run and by a very traditional board of people.
Yeah.
They're also basically a monopoly.
I mean, yeah. So it's
essentially, I guess.
It more like nobody, it
depends on the aspect, yeah. Space.
Nobody can exist in their space, right? Platformers and literally anybody. The Nintendo IPs are like infallible, basically. You're gonna release the number of people who bought a Switch 2 for fucking Mario Kart World, despite everybody hating on Mario Kart World from the release trailer announcement. They're like, man, this shit looks awful, blah 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 blah, but I guess I'm gonna play it anyways because it's a new Mario Kart game.
Ridiculous. We say that, but I'll be curious in a couple of months' time when we compare it to the Sonic Racing game that's just come out.
Yeah, I have a pre-order on that, technically.
Because I think this is the thing. Absolutely, from an IP standpoint, everyone's always going to buy the Splatoon game. They're always going to buy the Mario game. They're always going to buy the Pokemon game, right? We accept that. We acknowledge that. But to say that they have a monopoly on, like, the, you know, platformers, for example, I think they have a very good dedicated audience, but I think that there is enough competition out there, and there's enough popularity in that competition elsewhere that the argument could be made, and I'm not going to be the one to make it. I'm not nearly qualified enough in those types of games, but the argument could be made they no longer have the monopoly on that, because, you know, for every shit game that comes out, an indie one comes out that's really fucking good, and half the time it's a platformer.
Indie platformers.
You say they have a monopoly on it. I say look no further than Astrobot.
I still kind of want to play Astrobot TBH.
It looks so good. Oh, I have
fine. Pizza Tower. Man.
No way I'm buying a PlayStation for GTA 6. Yeah, it's...
I'm not gonna lie, I probably am.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're part of the problem.
Yeah. Listen, you were just talking about people buying the Switch 2 after talking to Mac about Mario Kart World and then buying it. I'm the Call of Duty guy. You don't remember damn, this game's gonna be shit.
Take your money, buy it anyway.
Take my money. You know, like
good luck.
It's just a thing. It happens, you know.
Good luck. They just announced Black Ops 7. Good luck.
Oh yep.
Good luck to you.
Lord knows that as soon as a Zelda title drops that looks even remotely good, I'm a fucking spend whatever amount of dollars I need to buy that Switch 2. I won a fucking Smash tournament for my Switch 1, to be very clear. I didn't pay a single penny for this bitch. I sat down, grinded hours to make sure that I won that shit.
Very, very, very quick tangent. Speaking of Zelda, holy fuck, the casting for the Zelda movie? Oh my god, they found an elf. They found an elf.
Is it Orlando Bloom?
No. I forget what her name is, but the person they've casted for Zelda, let me just look up Zelda casting. Because I know a lot of people have had a tizzy about it because they're trans or whatever. I'm like, I don't fucking care. They look like Zelda.
How come the Gooners?
They found a white person with blue eyes.
She has elf ears. Like, literally, just Google Zelda casting. It's the first image that comes up on Google. She has elf. She Hunter is an elf. Schaefer? Yep. Hunter there Schaefer you go. Hunter Schaefer.
Yeah.
She's an elf. I don't know where she's been hiding for the last 1,000 years, but she's an elf.
Norway.
Oh my god.
But no, that like genuinely, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, that's dude, Zelda.
People getting so butthurt Zelda. That Hunter Schaefer is getting a chance at being Zelda.
Yeah, because they're trans or whatever, and I'm like, I don't care that, but she looks like Zelda.
Okay, to be clear, a core quality of elves historically is about how androgynous they are. Is
yeah. I think after seeing
sounds like
that,
a hubby, all the way.
Yeah, after seeing that god awful Lilo and Stitch movie, I'm really excited for this.
Dude, I still haven't seen that movie.
I don't like it.
Is it that bad? Is it really?
It's that bad.
It's the most polarizing Disney remake that I've ever heard. Some people think it's like really good, and then. A lot of people also think that it's really bad.
If it was a standalone movie and there was no 2D animated Lilo and Stitch 20 years ago, I would say that it is a fine movie with a weird fucking message. Because it is a remake of Lilo and Stitch, it's fucking awful. It's so, and I'm not even going to talk about the CG. I'm not going to talk about just the writing and the plotting without spoilers is so fucking bad. And it's the antithesis of the Lilo and Stitch story that it's one of the worst Disney live actions that they've made so far, in my opinion.
We're not going to go into this now because I could disagree with CJ here. As somebody who thinks the movie is fine.
It's not fine!
Yeah, that's why we're not going to go into it. We can talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, yeah. Rain check.
This is a wrestling podcast. This is
I'm gonna go off.
Okay, there you go. Nope, that's your segue. Go. Right.
We're gonna try and get this done really quickly. All right, this month it was announced that TKO, the corporation that owns WWE now, that Vince McMahon sold them to, are $3 billion in debt. That is why there's so much sponsorship. That's why there have been so many cuts and releases over the last few months, basically since 2020. I mean, WWE always has their release period, but they've been very aggressive with their releases this year, and it's very sad to see. We've seen some wonderful talent like Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, Braun Strowman, Eddie Thorpe, and a load of others. Brilliant talent get let go. Shotzi's another big one. But yeah, they are $3 billion in debt. There's sponsorships everywhere. The WrestleMania in Orlando next year is not going to be in Orlando anymore because they got a better bid. I'll give you guys 5 seconds. Who do you think gave the better bid? Spoiler alert, it was Vegas again. So we're doing back-to-back Vegas WrestleMania, baby. It's been announced on Money in the Bank. In further news, a couple of weeks ago... I mean, they may have also just seen the news because it was announced last night that it's going back to Vegas, which it's really, I don't like, I want, you know, but it's whatever. But a couple of weeks ago, there was a very, very big match between John Cena and R-Truth. When I say a big match, it's big match storyline because these two, their characters are very intertwined, even though they haven't wrestled one another since 2011. But there's been a big storyline. R-Truth had an amazing moment. He had the top-selling shirt of the weekend, and then they released him the following Sunday. Like a week later, they released him.
Isn't the whole thing like they're just getting released, like no fucking question, just bye, well, see ya.
All right, so let me be very clear. He was not released. His contract expired.
Okay.
And they did not re-sign him. So because you need to be very particular with this wording, a release is they have cut your contract midway through, and it is bullshit, and I hate it. If you sign a contract, if you offer a contract, if you don't want to re-sign that talent, that's one thing. I understand it. You don't have plans for them. Contract up, you let them go. If you're going to release someone, you're cutting their contract in half. That is scummy. That is bullshit. It's a bad business practice. R-Truth's contract was running out. He was offered a deal. The deal was an amount of money he did not agree to, and he thought he was worth a lot more than that. Very good, Ron. Know your fucking worth. WWE refused to meet him in the middle, and so they let his contract expire. We also saw Valhalla go and Carlito. It's okay, he'll be back in 13 years. The internet and the backstage crew all lost their shit. They were all really fucking upset. Some of them got angry. And there was basically, over the last week, you may have seen hashtag We Want Truth. It's been a pretty big movement. And then last year, Ron Killings, the person who plays R-Truth on WWE TV, came back. Now, the whole thing with all of this is you have most of the internet, the sane ones that live with us, believing that, you know, WWE realized they messed up, they got in contact with Truth again, they got him a better deal, he is now going to be Ron Killings, so he's going to be a more serious character. I'm hoping he actually gets a bit of a main event push because he deserves it. He's been loyal to this company for 19 years. Maybe we should give people their flowers when they deserve them. And then there's a little bit of the community that thinks this was all a work, it was all part of the plan, you all got played, and, it, you know, enjoy the show. Triple H refused to comment on it last night. I'm growing more and more concerned that Paul Levesque doesn't really like the fandom and is, like, kind of really got annoyed with the whole R-Truth situation, because if you saw his body language last night, it was tense! And he basically responded to the question about Ron Killings with, "Did you enjoy the show? It's all part of the show." It's not part of the show, because literally 10 minutes prior, Cody Rhodes basically outed and said it wasn't part of the show. You guys made your opinions known, and we did what you wanted to do. And so now TKO would just do whatever they can and make as much money as possible, because they have so much money in debt. Triple H is slowly and slowly, you know, going down my ladder. And, oh, maybe he is still a piece of shit. This company is still a piece of shit. They're actively booking big shows on the same day as AEW's biggest show of the year, All In, July 12th, on a Saturday. So that's also pretty scummy. And on top of all of that, there's rumors that Vince McMahon is trying to buy the company back. Don't think he'll do it, but that's your wrestling news for the month in about 5 minutes.
That's a effort.
I love the irony of all the situations, seeing as how Triple H was a part of the first breaking the fourth wall situation in the WWF.
Yep.
You know, a time ago. So that's just the irony.
And I hear a lot of people saying, oh, but Triple H was in support of the We Want Cody movement at WrestleMania 40 last year. Oh, Triple H wants all this stuff. Yeah, he was in favor of that because that was his original plan, and then The Rock came in and changed it. But if you want something that's not part of Triple H's plan, you're just an online mark, and he cares about the people in the arena. Well, sucks to suck, Triple H. The people in the arena wanted R-Truth, although you might not have been able to hear them last night, because if you watched the first match last night at Money in the Bank, the women's ladder match, half the arena was empty. It's crazy.
out of the chat, Outcast saying, so my whole thing with this is, why would you let someone like Ron Killings go? This guy's money, even in his old age, because this man has had little injuries, moves better than a lot of the roster, and can outdo people on the mic.
Yeah.
Like, I think a Saturday Night's Main Event, if you let him, Ron Killings could have out-wrestled the ever-living shit out of John Cena. He is really good. I'm really excited for the serious character, because we might actually be able to get to see how good Ron Killings is. But the reason he was let go is because I read this on a WrestleTalk article. But popularity backstage and popularity with the fans is not a number on the spreadsheets. The money you're paid and the money you make are the number on the spreadsheets. Ron Killings, both as Ron Killings and R-Truth, is an incredible, incredible wrestler, incredible act, a core part of the backstage family. You know, it's like we said, we saw multiple reports about how the backstage talent, the backstage crew, a lot of people behind the scenes were absolutely heartbroken that R-Truth was let go, because he's such a core member of that family. And, you know, he has made Brock Lesnar break character. That's a talent in and of itself. But they were paying him a load of money they didn't think he was worth, and so they didn't renew his contract. The answer to your question is money.
Because
with TKO owing as much money as they can. I mean, the motherfuckers, like, there were sponsors all over the arena last night at Money in the Bank. The tables are now featured sponsors. All tables will have a Slim Jim logo on them. The fucking ladder that they climbed to get the Money in the Bank briefcase had Fireball on it, and it had a backstage advertising spot early in the match. But it's just awful. Side note, though, even if you're not a wrestling fan, go onto YouTube and look up Worlds Collide. It's free on YouTube. It's a couple hours, and it's really good lucha wrestling. Oh, yeah. We love El Iguana. We love El Iguana.
Hell yeah.
But, yeah.
Should we make this a segment? 10 minutes with CJ?
I'm down to try and speed run wrestling news over 2 weeks. I will... next coming up is the King and Queen of the Ring tournament, which is a very, very good tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun. I spoiled the results from last night because people might still want to watch it and stuff. But overall, I was unsure if I was going to watch the show. I still am very, very hesitant with WWE because of their business practices. But the show last night was quite fun. I'd give it
something against the ropes, CJ.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, CJ, really quick. Yep. Really quick, CJ, what's your favorite King of the Ring entrance ever?
Oh. Entrance for King of the Ring.
Meaning someone surprised you, whoa, wait, you're going to be here? Or
Stone Cold is the one that comes to mind because he was literally picked that night. but, I mean... Take it all the way up. As much as I don't enjoy his commentary on NXT, Booker T for me will always be the King of the Ring. I have a soft spot for Bad News Barrett, because he is, I feel like he never truly got the run he deserved. But I'd probably go Stone Cold for the icon, for the iconic moment. Booker T is a personal favorite, and then Wade Barrett is it's Wade Barrett! Come on! You all love Wade Barrett.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Money in the Bank, Dolph Ziggler, every fucking time. That cash-in was incredible. I love Dolph Ziggler. I love Nick Nemeth. He is amazing.
One piece.
I do not like Gunnar T.
Gunnar T.
I will say, I like his Trick Williams stuff. I think that's fun. But just, I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
Sounds like you're gooning already. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's what he does. Oh, God. But no, his Trick Williams stuff. I do like the Trick Williams stuff. So, yeah. No, I honestly, so Money in the Bank, I'd give it like a 6.5 out of 10.
Close enough.
But yeah.
It's over a 5. It's a solid
I was like if like my thing is like if it's a, if I rate a show a 7, that's like that's a good show. If you're into wrestling, you'll really like it. If I rate anything a 9 or above, that's a case of like legendary. Even if you don't like wrestling, go watch it. So like Backlash from last year in France in Saint-Léons, even if you're not a wrestling fan, go watch it just for the crowd. Because oh my god, that crowd is the best wrestling crowd of all time. And you know I'm telling the truth because they're French and I wouldn't compliment them if I didn't have to.
Yeah. For those that can't tell in chat, CJ is
getting us canceled.
is from the United Kingdom, and they have a contentious history before and then after World War II.
It is a known fact that all European countries bully France, but the second anyone outside of Europe starts bullying France, we kick them in the dick. That is a sworn pact that we have.
Big brother stuff. Because, that's some big brother, little brother stuff right there.
Yeah, that is. They absolutely picked the correct Money in the Bank winner. Again, I'm not going to spoil the show. They picked the correct Money in the Bank winner for the Mrs. Money in the Bank. And I think the men's Money in the Bank, whilst he wasn't like in my heart of hearts, I want this person to win. It was a very smart call. And you know what? Nikki Bella comes back on Monday, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm excited for the Nikki Bella return. Because I've got a soft spot for that era of wrestling, all right? Fucking, it's not great, but, you know, fuck it. Bring back Nikki Bella. Let's go.
I wish I only knew, like, half of what you guys are talking about right now. Just saying.
Nah.
I know about half. That's about my...
Yeah.
I know zero. Let's be honest here.
I will also say...
We going bowling?
Nico.
Yeah.
Nico Bellic.
Oh,
my. Anyway.
What a...
I would disagree. I think almost any woman in the ladder match could have won it, but I'm glad they went with the one they did. Hey. Not my favorite in that match. Sure. And my favorite is not the one you're thinking of. Good pick.
Oh yeah.
Anybody who knows CJ knows that he means that.
Anyway,
if he doesn't like something, you'll know it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's not even the way that you're making it sound like is making it sound like CJ doesn't like Rhea, but that's not necessarily the case.
That's mommy. Everyone likes Rhea.
I appreciate her work, but I am kind of bored of her, and yeah. I feel like they had an opportunity. They had an opportunity this year, and I think actually, Juice. You would have gone with this, right? So you know when she won the title and then they had The Undertaker come out on the motorbike and do all that at the Netflix debut? I think you should have done something there. You have her ride off with Undertaker on the motorbike and then the next week on Raw, she debuts a new character, Rhea Ripley, the Australian badass. And we have a new character for Rhea Ripley. Because...
That's actually not bad!
That's actually not bad! Right, because for me, and like this is a very personal thing. There is something a little bit weird to me about a load of kids chanting for mommy. Because to them, yeah, that's her name. But we're all adults.
To adults,
we know, right? And we know that she knows, right?
Yeah.
Like there's something a little. There's something. Look, at the end of the day,
that's a great take. Actually, I'm not gonna lie.
CJ, they're gonna learn. Okay, they're gonna know, and they're gonna accept who they are internally. They're gonna learn that they have been raised in a certain way.
No, I fully understand that for like 80% of the next generation, Rhea Ripley is their sexual awakening, right?
Yeah.
But there is
Chiga. It's fine.
There is there is something a little weird about a load of kids who are between the ages of, and let's be honest, so between the ages of like 8 and 15 chanting for mommy. There's something not right about it. And I get it. Right, we're not technically in the PG era anymore, even though please stop swearing at shows, it ruins the TV episode. I don't give a shit. You paid your money, you bought the ticket, say whatever the fuck you want, so long as it isn't racist. That's kind of my rule. You buy the ticket, say what you want. But there's something a little bit uncomfortable for me, because I'm thinking, like, I've got a 13-year-old sister. If she was in that arena chanting mommy, I wouldn't feel right. I wouldn't feel good about it. And it's just, like, I feel like if we debuted, like, because, you know, he is the American badass, and then we could have this whole thing. She could still have her, like, spiky leather gimmick, right? But it's now less BDSM, more Australian badass biker Rhea Ripley. I think that could have been a really interesting. She doesn't need to change her personality in any way. All she has to do is basically, instead of saying, oh, mommy's basically like, I'm Rhea Ripley and I'm the Australian badass or whatever the fuck. And, you know, Undertaker can pass the torch to Rhea Ripley that way. I think that would be fine. That would be great. I feel like we missed something there because it's right there.
Yeah. Now, if you consider, we've come a long way, right? Because when I was a kid watching wrestling, it was like swimsuit wrestling matches, it was like a mud bath wrestling, and like it was nipples and, you know, busting through the shirts and whatnot. And, you know, we had Val Venus wearing a freaking towel around his waist coming out going, hello ladies, and whipping on. Like it used to be a whole lot crazier. So I would say, like, this is more toned down version of it. But yeah, I mean, I still think your take is great. I mean, it actually would have been a great switch up, right?
I'm just glad we're not in that era anymore, because like you could not play this character safely in that era. Like, you know, at the end of the day, right, Rhea is incredibly good at what she does. She's incredibly talented. She does things that I could never do in my life. Like, this is no disrespect to her. So, you know, she is the most popular woman in the roster. I would argue she's not the best as far as wrestling on the roster. Is the most favorite. We, you know, you can hear those squeals from the ISS, right? Like, you know, they're like, okay, where are we above? Oh, what's that screaming? Oh, we're above a WWE show. Rhea's just come out. But, you know, it's just a personal thing, right? Give me Julia and Roxanne Perez and Io Sky any day, because they are my top three right now. Sol Ruka's doing really well in NXT. I get it. I'm not a hater. I acknowledge that she's popular and all that shit. The same as, like, I don't like Roman, but I get that he's popular, right? But, you know, he never fucking apologized. I haven't forgotten the abuse. I haven't forgotten.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you guys enjoyed this segment of the podcast this week.
Oh, we're done now?
Yep.
Oh,
as always, no. You know, right? Because we can let it go on until 4:30.
No. There's not much else I could really say. So, yeah, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
See you guys in 2 weeks.
No. Realistically, I do want to just shove myself into this conversation real quick to not segue, because that implies there's any subtlety to what I'm doing right now. But I do want to end today's show on just like a highlight of wholesomeness in the gaming community. Just a reminder to all the creators out there. Kind of about the silent supporters. If anybody knows me, they know that I'm into strategy games primarily. The game that I put the most of my time into is Teamfight Tactics. I don't try super hard to be good at the game, but I play a lot of that game for shits and giggles, and it's fun, and I like it. Our Lord and Savior Mortdog, he is a streamer, he is the lead developer, he is also the kindest person on the Riot support, or the Riot development staff ever. Even questions that go to him that should be support questions, he tries to answer to the best of his abilities. He's available 24/7 to a lot of top players to answer like obscure questions on how the code works, as long as it doesn't give them unfair advantages within the game. And this is like all well known. About a month ago, Mortdog did his quote unquote final stream for a little bit because he was doing too much. Just explicitly, he was lead developer. His whole job was to be like kind of the face of Teamfight Tactics, but to like develop the game, prep for the next two upcoming sets of the game, you know, prep for patches, make sure that everyone, if they had like really important design questions, that people can ask him about it. But, you know, that comes with a lot of hate. Like, hey, there's this bug in this game. What the fuck don't you fix it? You can only answer that question so many times, which a lot of it is, hey, it takes time to fix bugs. It's not just going to be like a snap of the fingers. I can't just dedicate my 10 people from my 30-person team to just fix a single bug. Balance still needs to happen.
Game development takes time? What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. What the fuck?
Right? What? That's crazy.
So he officially stepped down for about a month ago, saying like, hey, I just like can't handle being a public figure after basically 10 years of doing it. Which is fair. He recently came back saying that as soon as he stepped down, there's a huge outreach from the community, basically being like, we loved your presence. It's sad to see you go, but we all understand. As like a community, right? The quiet 70%, 80% kind of walked out of the woodworks to be like, we get why you're stepping down. Take as much rest as you need. Come back when you need to. And when he stepped down, it was very visible within the community. Let me just say, when you don't have like a direct line access to like the thought process of game development, game balance, shit like that, when that mainline disappears and there isn't really anybody there to replace it, you feel it immediately.
Yeah,
because it's even like, hey, we can't fix this bug explicitly. There's actually a really big thing. There's a game, talking about game design philosophy, Mortdog has talked about. If possible, Mortdog would love every stat that has time-based scaling within the game to be infinite. Because that's fun. Because it's like, oh, let's fulfill this fantasy where my fucking unit attacks once and it does 20 billion damage because I waited long enough. That's fun, you know? It's punishable, for sure. And if you get there, great. Have fun with your stupid build that you accidentally... It's like chasing Royal Flush with an Ace 10 on suit, and you're like, I saw a jack queen on the river or on the flop. We're chasing that king. Like the one king. And sometimes you hit and sometimes you don't. And that's kind of the fun of it. And he acknowledges that. And he's like, okay, attack speed is the one thing, because when attack speed approaches a specific number, the entire game breaks. Literally, the lobby will stop working, and we can't figure out why. And that's the only reason there's a cap to that number.
That's interesting.
It's because the internal code breaks down, and we can't fix it.
Well, eventually, when you get to that point, it's just fucking...
Yeah,
it's probably just a fucking number vomit at the end of the day.
Pretty much. But basically, he came back... a little over a week ago, saying like, hey, it was very endearing to see how important he is to the community and all of the outreach. He realized that like the loud 10-ish% of people really affected him personally.
That's it.
While the quiet, the people who really supported him were quiet, and the fact that everybody kind of reached out also was super understanding. Made him realize
the other thing with that. Okay. Is I think, like, and then we talked about this 46, 47, just like the negative connotation from gamers in general. Yep. And it's just like, it would be such a better environment for gaming if more more studios had this kind of like face presence kind of thing. But
yeah,
like this exact situation, you have those fucking that 10% of negative pieces of shit who are the only ones actually like vocal, fucking ruin it for everybody. But it's just like,
it's not an easy place to be. But shout outs to Mortdog for being the hero that we need, not the one that we deserve. and he came back in a big way, and immediately, ironically, it felt there's this giant gap in the community for one patch. We all felt it. We all were like, this feels wrong. It feels like we're guessing so much about everything. And then he came back and everything felt normal again. And I can't be happier. Personally.
Good. People like that deserve the praise, and we need more people like that.
Yeah. Especially people who do it well. Yeah. Who do good and aren't like shit talking their community for stupid reasons.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
For real.
You know,
yeah.
let's just bring back bullying so then like the loud majority can start beating up. The quiet majority can start beating up on the loud minority, and then we eliminate the loud minority, and then everyone's happy.
Ah, yes. Peace. Let me put out that fire with my flamethrower.
Pitchforks. Release.
All we gotta do is find those people, just put them in an arena, and then you know have Jort, whatever the fuck Jort wants his fucking music to be, and just have him run out, be the hero we need.
Yes, eliminate the loud minority.
Speaking of fucking,
can't stand it.
Like,
speaking of video games,
guys.
Should we do a rapid rundown of all the game releases over the last couple of weeks?
All of them? No, dude, the good ones. By good ones, I mean the relevant ones.
So, okay. I was gonna say, so we're not talking about Nintendo and their Mario Kart World.
No, I think we already passed that.
Yeah, I will say that the Eliminator race thing that they introduced looks interesting, but it's also like it's not gonna make me buy it. Like, I'm not gonna buy a whole fucking console. I love that online it's based for the Pokemon community. The Switch 2 has been redubbed the $600 patch.
I know that I will inevitably have to break as somebody who
Party? Jesus Christ.
Nintendo products.
I just went dyslexic for a sec. Sorry.
Okay, you're fine. I will inevitably buy the Switch 2. It will be like a year. I will hold out for about a year.
Yeah, I mean there was some decent stuff that was on the Xbox showcase. I'm still on the fence about this. I've only played it a few times over the past couple of days. But for those of you who don't know and have any sort of interest in the BR scene or Splitgate, they did shadow drop a BR mode as with their official release. It's
BR.
You just got to play it.
It's an interesting one. What I'll give, because I've been playing it a little bit myself in between my Stellaris fix. I'm in my, you know, most people have a 2-week Minecraft thing and then they don't touch it again for a year. I have a 2-month Stellaris thing and then I won't touch it for a year.
Are you starting his Minecraft server right now for 2 weeks?
Oh my god, bro.
Right now?
Ordering right now, guys. I got it.
I have been considering doing a YouTube series of like my 2-week Minecraft phase. I just do 14 days of Minecraft and then just never finish the series.
Yeah.
Just
never finish.
Yeah.
Fucking day 14, half a house.
And then next year, Next year I'll do season two and people just want the end of season one.
Yeah, there's like an unexplainable gap in between. Like, yep.
All of a sudden you have a mansion and a fucking castle and just like a whole village going. And they're just like
what I will say about the Battle Royale, but what I do like about it is the fact that, well, for starters, it gives me a little bit of Darwin Project vibes, because instead of it being like a big circle that's closing in, it's like four or five different zones, and then every few minutes, a couple of those zones will close and maybe one will open. So you're always moving around. The zones connect by these checkpoints at the ends of each zone. They're very obviously marked by big things in the sky. I mean, that's fine. The gunplay is fine. It's Splitgate 2. Splitgate 2 is pretty decent first-person gunplay. My biggest fucking gripe with Splitgate 2's Battle Royale mode is it's the weapons themselves. It's really, really hard to kind of find the guns you like, and then if you find the gun you like, then obviously, you know, upgrading it and stuff it's not a complicated process, and it's not necessarily tedious, but it is kind of that thing of like, well, the only way to get guns that aren't pistols is via chests. You don't have just an AR lying around. So it is kind of like, well, what do you want me to do when I'm forced into a team of four that quite often has no communication, so everyone just runs off and does their own thing? As it becomes really difficult when all I've got is a semi-automatic rifle and I've got four people chasing me and my team are in a different zone. So there's nothing I can do.
Well, the other thing too is like they still have, they have bot replacement, which is like,
yeah,
for a battle royale, please, like, what, why are there bots on my team? Just kick them out, bro. I don't want them.
It's weird. What I will say is I do like the fact that when you're eliminated, as long as your team doesn't get wiped and they avoid combat, the more you die, the longer you'll respawn timer is. But I kind of like that, as like, you don't have to go to a revive station like in some other games. It's more just, right, just stay low, stay alive, you can get your team back and they can spawn on you. But the more you die, the longer that respawn time is going to be, so it's more likely that you're going to get team wiped. And when you're team wiped, that's when you're eliminated.
Yeah,
it's an interesting thing. Is it perfectly balanced? I don't know, I haven't played enough, but it's new and interesting and different. I think there's enough difference with the Splitgate Battle Royale that it does stand out. Obviously, there is the controversy of the guy, the developer that came out and announced it. He was wearing a hat that said "Make FPS is great again," and whilst I absolutely get the sentiment, I feel like it's a good joke in a really poor timing with everything that's going on politically right now. So,
you know, game developers, and they're so good at making jokes and making sure they're timely.
Yeah.
He tweeted about that and was like, guys, this is not a political statement. I just want to make good games. That's all. Yeah, he had to actually say something
Okay, let's be real. Game developers are the funniest people in the world. They've given up their stand-up careers to release video games. So, you know, we got to give them a little bit of...
I mean, like I said, I do like the sentiment that he had of like, you know, yeah, I'm a guy that grew up playing Halo, and I'm the guy that like was waiting for Titanfall 3, and so I made my own game. I appreciate the guy where he's coming from. It'll be interesting to see where the game is a couple months down the line. I can't wait for our sort of September episode where we talk about, did Splitgate 2 live or die? Like, I'm getting my notes ready for that.
Just revive.
My alarm is going off.
It's time to end the show. I can't monologue anymore.
I have an alarm set now for whenever the dishwasher gets done because the beeper is broken. So I just have a little alarm. Dishwasher's done. Go empty that whenever you're done what you're doing. Because I'm responsible sometimes, mostly, when it's like, you know.
Some adulting.
Yeah. But no, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. I think it's officially out now. Like this is its release. I don't think it's in beta anymore, is it?
Yeah, that was their official quote unquote release drop, I guess. But before Mike goes on his tangent.
Oh, well, it won't be a tangent.
Bro, honestly, the second game I'm really waiting for, like Splitgate, I'm just saying, Splitgate's just a fucking transitional period right now. Once Rematch comes out, bro, you guys might not see me for a while. I'm just saying.
You're really into your soccer game.
I'm just saying, dude. It's
why haven't we played fucking Strike Omega Omega Strikers?
I've actually been thinking about getting that. I just don't know who would play it.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Rematch is like Rocket League, but with people.
It's literally FIFA Street. Like, if you've ever played that, that's literally it. I'm going to say this every single time, too. It could be really good. It could be there. It could be that next fucking Rocket League soccer esport thing. But fix the god damn netcode, please. Yes. That's literally
you're starting
all.
To sound like you're starting to sound like an FGC player. So I'm gonna type this in chat.
No,
real quick.
Thanks for doubt.
I'm out.
Oh my god.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I mean, like, the netcode is like the only thing that's preventing it from being fucking chef's kiss, because it is fun to play. Rematch is very fun to play.
Here's the thing too, right? This is my big gripe about the whole situation. A lot of people, like, there is zero doubt in my mind that if this game was free, it's gonna be close to par with Schedule 1. Like, that would not be out of the realm of possibilities. But they are putting a $30 price tag on it. Which, also, not only are they putting a $30 price tag on everything outside of Xbox, but I believe it's coming to Game Pass. Which means they already have a deal with Microsoft. So, why in the literal fuck you're getting all this money from Microsoft of all fucking people to buy better servers? It's that simple. It really is. Because I guarantee if somebody buys your game for $30 and there's still fucking desync and netcode issues, they're going to refund that shit so fast. Your game's going to die in 2 days. Guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed.
What was that $40 PlayStation game? Conquered? Conquered.
I was gonna say, yeah, this is giving me Conquered vibes. Yeah.
The fact that you literally can't remember Conquered is such a big L to damn Conquered really. That was like game of the year contention, was what everyone was thinking on the fucking announcement. That's crazy. They're like, that one game, that one time that failed really hard.
But look, we're still. Here's the caveat, though. We're still talking about it.
It's still a headline. A headline's a headline.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if it's on Game Pass, I might pick it up. But like, it does strike me as like this is the kind of game, like you do like with Rocket League, where you put like a battle pass, or you put a lot of effort into the cosmetics. Like, I want to play football as a fucking lizard guy, right? Just let me buy a little lizard outfit. I'll be a little lizard guy or a little hot dog guy. Fucking do a deal with KSI, because KSI is big with this football. Do a deal with KSI, and you get to be a little prime bottle.
You could be speed in Rematch.
You could be speed. You're
gonna eat that up.
Logan Paul has been in there. You know, you can have Mr. Beast in there, all the sidemen. Like, there's a really big market for doing, like, you know, deals with people. It's like, oh, if you log in on day one, you'll get your KSI Rematch skins. Like,
especially with all the FIFA guys. Like, like KSI, most of the sidemen.
Yeah. Most of the sidemen,
Harry, fucking.
It's true.
But, yeah. So I mean, maybe that's contract stuff that they can't do. But I'm pretty sure, wasn't it like, I think it was Delta Force that was doing like a load of celebrity, is going to have like a load of celebrity people in there. Call of Duty always have like big celebrities that show up. I mean, Fortnite is the one that capitalized on it. You're never going to be able to mimic that, but that kind of essence, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of Call of Duty. Uh-huh.
Speaking of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to Call of Duty. That's crazy.
Listen, man, I mean, CJ mentioned it earlier.
But I was going to say, the gamers do every fucking year, so like...
Yeah. Teaser's out. It's a 3-minute teaser, probably like the longest teaser I think we've ever had for a COD release, but...
Dude, R.A.P. fucking dude, Battlefield.
Dogman and I were watching it, and we were actually confused. He thought the trailer was like... he thought it was Resident Evil. I thought it was going to be...
what the fuck?
Resident Evil.
I thought... we both basically thought, like, when the trailer started, it was going to be two separate games, and then you fucking... David Mason came in and was like, oh, Call of Duty. All right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Now it'll be interesting. I guess they're gonna go back to like the mind bending campaigns from, you know, back in the day.
What was the last Battlefield game released?
2042.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ugh. The rip of franchise that I think was better.
Yeah. Dude,
that should have. I can't believe that Battlefield died for Call of Duty.
I don't know. Hey, Battlefield 4 was good.
Battlefield 1
was really good.
I really like Battlefield 1 personally. But I think that's when people started falling off between Battlefield 4 and Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
The transition from, but like, also don't forget that was like a very like old fashioned hit, you know, boots on the ground thing, which came out a really good time, because that's when, if I remember, Call of Duty was going, like, doubling down on the futuristic stuff. I think that's before they released Call of Duty World War II. Yeah. Then Battlefield 5 had a Battle Royale mode, because every game had a Battle Royale mode then. And then, genuinely, as someone who's played a lot of Battlefield games, I think the issue was with Battlefield 2042 is they were trying to do that really fast-paced gameplay that a lot of modern Call of Duties and a lot of modern, I don't know if Halo necessarily, but like a lot of modern first-person shooters are going for that really quick, concise gunplay. Whereas for me, Battlefield's always been that little bit of, like, you play it a little bit slower. Like, you get into a dugout and you set up and it's you and your boys, you're just holding this fucking spot. And, oh god, they're coming, but we gotta fucking hold it because that sniper's there, we gotta cover him. Right, which Hell Let Loose has done really well. And so I think a lot of people, you know, kind of maybe went from Battlefield 1 right to Hell Let Loose. Yeah. So, Battlefield kind of does need to slow it down a little bit, maybe. Maybe they don't. We need to get that serotonin. We need to be fast-paced. We need to have jetpacks and slingshots and grapples and whatever the fuck. But whenever I think of Battlefield, I would think of Battlefield 1 with me and my boys on that. It was that map with the big castle in the middle, and we're just holding that castle.
Oh, yeah.
And I get shot in the shoulder, and I've got like 5 health, so I'm ducking down and put my medic stuff up, because I play a medic in that game. So I'm just running around reviving people and shit. Because Delta Force was like, yeah, no, that's great. This is the kind of gameplay I love. But it's so fast-paced and just run around gunning. You don't have that kind of slow push up to the objective style anymore. I think we're losing that.
There are too many FPS titles trying to be like Call of Duty. And J-Dog and I have had this conversation in the past, where if you give us Call of Duty-sized maps, like if EA said you want to make a Battlefield, but you want... a Call of Duty size map, 3-lane symmetrical map with the OG Battlefield mechanics, you will have a good game.
Dude,
because like, games are going to go faster, but it's still going to feel like Battlefield.
I actually have a really good time playing like Team Deathmatch on Battlefield 4. Like, that, honestly, so it was good. So good.
Fucking great.
So good.
Fucking great.
And it just didn't go anywhere. Like, going back to what Mute said too, well, Battlefront 2 lived on because of Andor. And if I, so Battlefield never really, I can't say never. They of course they all have their glitchy issues, but like I don't think anybody can truly explain why the why the player count dropped between Battlefield 4 and 1. New shit came out, people went and go played that new shit, you know. There's no real actual explanation to why Battlefield's at the point that it is until they came out with 2042, and then that was a problem. That's the one that was really glitchy as far as I'm aware. But then going back to Battlefront, what's up?
I was saying, one was fine. I think just the already downward trajectory made 2042 just not. Like, people were so ready to leave already.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, Battlefield 5 is, like, I very rarely ever heard people talk about it. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, Battlefield 5, we made that. That's a thing. But it's like, I don't remember ever having a conversation. Oh, yeah, have you seen Battlefield 5? Like, it's...
I think I played Battlefield 5, like, once or twice, TBH.
I never played it. So maybe that's just me. I'm sure, like, in the Battlefield community, it was, like, a big thing, but I think the echo chamber became smaller and smaller for Battlefield over the years.
I honestly think the battle... You guys heard about the whole Battlefront thing, right?
Battlefront 2's resurgence? Yeah.
So, bro, I was... You know me. I was... 100% that guy just sitting there waiting for them to fucking do it, and they fucking did it, and I just couldn't just do anything but sit back there and be like, y'all really didn't think, like, you didn't actually think they were going to cancel their current Battlefield project and make Battlefront 3 instead just because there's a surge of players? This is EA we're talking about. You actually thought they were going to change their trajectory for us? Yeah. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, was it like the dev team for Battlefront 2 didn't want to leave it? They were kind of forced to.
Yeah, exactly. That too.
So, it's just another one of those things of Star Wars fans. It's like, hey, there's this thing we like. Well, we're going to make this instead.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, down the line, Battlefront 3, who knows? I don't think anybody would be disappointed at this point, but
no. This is the thing with that franchise, though. No, we're just gonna have Battlefield 1 again in a few years' time. There will never be a Battlefront 3. There never has been. There wasn't the first time. There won't be this time.
It's gonna be Battlefront 1 again, a Battlefront 2 again, and then it's gonna be Battlefront 1 re-release.
This is, oh my god. Unless microtransactions? Oh my god. No, alright. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's not go down that road.
I really love the, because the original idea for the original Battlefront 3 was they were going to merge the space battles and the ground warfare. I think that's kind of my thing, is Battlefront 2. The original Battlefront 2 will always stick in my mind because of those space battles. And being able to go into the enemy ship and try and sabotage it from the inside to help your team on the outside, right? You can disable the shield generator from the inside with sticky grenades. So you would get in the gunship and you and your squad and, you know, that 8 people, and you'd set up in the hangar and you're slowly waking your way forward and you destroy the shield generator, but now your respawn's been destroyed by the enemies who have retaken the hangar, so now you just dug out again, just trying to survive this way. Like, that... We've never really had another game like that where a whole mechanic of the game is to raid the enemy spawn and try and destroy it from the inside.
Yeah. That's just fire.
Technically Planetside, I guess you can argue. Maybe.
Nah.
That's more like a territorial point-based thing, I guess, though.
Yeah. But... speaking of space games, there is a new one coming out soon. I think that Wild Gate.
Outer Wilds? Yeah.
No, Wildgate. It's basically Void Crew and Sea of Thieves combined.
Oh god.
And it looks fun. It's like, well, so like there's like five teams and you all have your spaceship, very Void Crew-esque, but you gotta go like capture the objective and you can raid other people's ships and stuff. It looks pretty fun. I'll send you some footage on it. But yeah, it looks like a side quest game, but I also don't know if it's gonna be. It's coming out next month. It's made by former Blizzard devs, so I'm gonna see what I can find on it.
Fun is a really big word. Yeah, it's very very relative nowadays. That's
for sure. It's a heavy statement for sure.
Yeah,
definitely send me that though. I want to check it out.
Yeah,
we still need to do an actual fucking Void Crew run. Damn it.
Yeah,
Liza P is on sale for 50% on Steam right now.
Oh yeah, because the sequel to that game is coming out.
Yeah, then they just fucking.
Yeah, support Korean developers.
Grabbing Bloody Roar now? Hell yeah, dude. I'm hell down for that.
Yeah, we got the Outer Worlds 2, but that's a big one. Silk's on.
I think the end of the year is going to look really interesting.
Yeah.
I heard they were still, like, they're still working on a Fable title. Is that true?
I thought they've been going back and forth between it actually being a Fable title and a Fable title. Like, it's
supposed to
be a spiritual.
I mean, it was originally supposed to be, they were going to do like an MMO around it. So,
yeah.
What it was announced this back time like last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, it might still be in development. Do we know Peter Molyneux's actually on that team, or is it just.
I think that dude's super retired, honestly. Either that or he quit.
Yeah. Yeah, you keep thinking he retires and he keeps coming back. It's like Dracula. You forgot to stab him in the heart with the stake. You just left him for dead.
True, though, actually.
That's like the whole premise of Castlevania.
Persona 4's getting a remaster. New Tony Hawk game is coming out. Tony Hawk 3 and 4.
Sorry.
Finally.
Can I just say, I know we're a little bit over. I would like to complain.
Oh, God. All right. We're ending with a clean complaint. Here we go. Everybody get fuck ready on your bingo cards.
Fuck remasters. I don't need you to re-release your game. I understand that the younger generation has never seen anything less than fucking 124 bits. Let them struggle with an SNES, okay?
You were defending the Lilo and Stitch movie half an hour ago.
Yeah, this is different.
Well, it isn't.
Sounds like Mike's girlfriend.
You were defending a movie remaster half an hour ago. What are you fucking?
Yeah, movie remasters are less offensive to me.
Excuse you?
So there's a scale now.
Did you see the Mulan live action?
Music remasters, the least offensive. All right, by far.
Sure.
Remaster. Sure. I need digital copies of all the classics. They're not going to be as good as the original recording. I accept that.
Yeah. Fair.
Re-recordings of movies and TV shows. Shit, but acceptable.
No.
Remasters of old movies, more acceptable than that. Because remasters and re-recordings are two different things. Redoing, reimaginings of. Remastering of old media, as far as video games go, fuck you.
So you're okay with Lilo and Stitch 2025, but you are not okay with Spyro the Reignited Trilogy, is what I'm hearing. All right, Jalen, you're going to have to go to a Be Right Back stream because what I'm about to do to Quan cannot be showed on live TV. I'm about to... This guy, you are insane. You're insane if you... I cannot believe... Like, this is the hill you're dying on.
Oh, no, no. The hill I'm dying on is way less trivial.
I think it's one of those things, like, it depends, like, don't get me wrong, I think the Horizon Zero Dawn remaster, when the game has only been out for a few years, yes, that's a little bit egregious, it's a casual.
Yes,
but
The Last of Us.
Remastering a game that's come out a long time ago, and bear in mind, a lot of people can't get their hands on this old technology. Sure. Like, no. Honestly, the remaster of the Gears of War that they've announced, I'm kind of okay with that, because it's going to be really hard to get your hands on an original copy of Gears of War on original tech that also works, because the disc is going to be scratched to fuck.
True.
Getting your hands on an original copy of Tony Hawk's 1 and 2, even Tony Hawk's 3 and 4 that came out on like PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, getting your hands on that and getting copies that work properly, take the words properly, is going to be really difficult. Getting your hands on copies of like the original Spyro trilogy that came out on PS1 and PS2 is going to be really, really, really difficult. I think that to an extent, yeah, you need to reach a certain lifespan before I think you're eligible for a remaster, unless you're Skyrim, in which case you get one every 6 months, because apparently that's okay. But, like, to say that remasters of video games are worse than remasters or remakes or whatever of other media, I think it really, like, that just as in, like, an objective, this is, like... This is better than this, and this is worse than this. That is an insane take. And this is coming from the person who objectively and, like, only has wrong opinions on this podcast.
Okay, so I just did a thing, right?
Yeah.
I want everybody to be aware of this. If you go into the Discord right now, under the crackmedia.com category, we have created a top-tier remastered classics just for you to say how wrong Quang is.
I've already...
Vote now.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Fight me.
Juice, I love that remaster. That one's really good. Okay. I feel like I just need to say the Spyro Reignited Trilogy... Just that by itself proves your fucking answer. Like, it's such a good remaster of a game because it still has the original charm, but it works on modern technology. It's a beautiful game and it gives access to a game that a lot of people aren't going to be able to play.
I feel like Mute's going to go super ham on this and I love it.
Bring it.
I cannot believe.
Anyways, this has been your 5 minutes of Quang hot take.
Yeah. I
we're just coming up with new segments today, boys. I love it.
Honestly. let me have one more look through this list to see if there's any other bigger games that have been announced to be coming out. Obviously, we spoke about Silksong a little bit. Death Stranding 2. Got featured at Summer Games Fest. Death Stranding 2 will be released on PS5 June 26, 2025. So that is around the corner.
Damn.
Mortal Shell 2, which is a sort of Souls-esque game, is coming out next year, I believe, on most consoles. There's some Hitman stuff that I don't care about. The Game of Thrones RTS. That's coming out, I believe. No date for that, but that's been officially announced.
Wait, that's an RTS?
Yep, it's gonna be an RTS game.
Oh, I thought that was supposed to be like an MMO RPG.
I was kind of hoping for an RPG, but no, it's gonna be at least as far as this article is telling me, it's a brand new real-time strategy game that will let players take control of the Great Houses and even the Night King to raise your banners, rally iconic heroes, and conquer the Seven Kingdoms, solo or an exciting free-for-all multiplayer.
Interesting. Quang and I both know where RTSs are going right now. So, I mean, good luck, I guess.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful, but also not even remotely.
Resident Evil 9, or as it's being called, Resident Evil Requiem, is coming out February 27th next year. So it's just ahead of GTA 6. Obviously, Lies of P Overture has been announced. So we're going back to, and that is now available. You can go and get that. That's probably why the original Lies of P is on sale. Dying Light The Beast comes out August 22nd this year. Am I seeing anything? Apparently, there's a new social deduction game from Square Enix coming out called Killer Inn, which honestly, I might look into that because social deduction can always be fun.
We all like hating each other.
Yep. Sonic Racing Crossworlds has come out. Atomic Heart 2 has been officially announced to be in development. It's got no date, but like that, it's already like in production and being made. Lego have a new game, Lego Voyages. I have no idea what this game is, but apparently it's a split fiction style, so like only one person needs to have the game for you to be able to play it. And
I thought Overture was a full new game. It's actually just DLC.
I thought it was only game, but it might be DLC.
That's what I'm seeing right now on Steam.
Quite possibly it's DLC. If it's DLC on Steam, then yeah, absolutely. And then yeah, the Outer Worlds 2, Obsidian's new game, which, you know, I believe has a lot of hype around it, because I know a lot of people really, really liked the Outer Worlds. I think the Outer Wilds is better, but, you know, again, I'm the guy with the wrong opinions. But a lot of good games coming out over the next couple of years. Hopefully good games, we should say.
We say this every fucking year. Like, there's going to be some good shit, and there's going to be a slew of bad shit. I'm personally still waiting for Borderlands 4. I'm ready for it when it drops.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, either way, price tag wise, I'm unfortunately still going to end up getting that game just because it's Borderlands. But I like there again, there's some gems coming out this year, but can't. J Dog doesn't like being too hopeful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, with that said, episode 51. Holy God shit.
Damn.
Finally,
I swear I'll get you guys bingo cards by next episode, because on here will remind me, right? Right?
You're looking at me, aren't you? Because I'm the one that reminded you to do the notes for this fucking podcast. I feel like that's my job, is just to remind you about shit you said you're gonna do.
That's just my brain, dude. At this point, like,
I get you. I get you.
I'm starting to. I thought I was losing it. I'm losing it, man.
We'll remind you for sure. Someone will.
Remind me of what? Remind me of the same thing you reminded me of last time.
Oh, nice, nice mute.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. The same thing you reminded me of last time. I have it made. The card is made. Don't get me wrong. Everything's made. We have everything's filled out. We got boxes and everything. I just need to remember to distribute and figure out how we're going to do that before the episode, essentially.
We'll figure it out.
Did I see the Some Ordinary Gamers video on Borderlands?
Negative. NGO. B-I-N-G-O.
Y'all have to send that. His name, oh. God. You'll have to send that to me, Jerry. Anyway, go ahead, throw your guys' shit in chat. Episode 51. I'll do it Monday and again Friday. Thank you. Appreciate it. You guys are the best. Everybody fucking hanging out today. Everybody who came in from fucking TikTok. Everybody who's sitting on Twitch with us right now. Welcome back, guys. We miss you all. We'll see you. Hold on. Timeline. Brain.
Two weeks from now.
2 weeks. I was thinking, I was trying to think of side quests. So, quick recap. Monday. Guys.
What?
I'm losing it. Next Friday, the start of Tanak Season 2, Marvel Rivals. Don't miss it. Whoa. Saturday, whoa. Rainbow Six Quidditch. Don't miss it. One of those is unfortunately probably going to be streamed on my personal channel. If we have to do it at the same time, I will have some kind of notification for that. And then, of course, the next coming week, side quest on Wednesday. And then we'll see you guys for episode 52 on that following Sunday.
Hopefully I get my decks fixed. Woo!
Yeah.
I'll pick either or at this point.
Oh my god.
I'll be here with your wrestling news and also probably some other shit because I'm typically the guy with just news in general.
Yeah, I don't know shit.
They call me the news man. I'm James Jova Jameson, baby.
What do Juice Wayne and Batman have in common? Join the Cracked Media Discord to find out. The answer may not be there, but there are a lot of other cool stuff. I promise.